So this coming week in the United States, it's going to be Thanksgiving. Happy Thanksgiving, everyone. I am thankful to be able to continue to do these podcasts. And I'm even more thankful that you guys are still listening. Thanks for being here. Today's episode is going to be a holiday episode. It is going to be season 6, episode 8 that we discuss. It's called Fade Into You. It is the Friendsgiving episode. Overall, I find this episode pretty intriguing and pretty informative. This is really where we start to get Kai Parker's backstory and the Gemini Coven in general. For me, anything with a time travel or a flashback or a world jump is automatically up there on the top of my list. I do love time travel aspects in that way. But I specifically picked this episode, obviously, because they were doing a Friendsgiving for Thanksgiving. We see it being celebrated in both Whitmore and in a 1994 prison world. So this episode starts off with flashbacks of actual May 9th, 1994, which is the day before the prison world is set to, during the 1994 solar eclipse on May 10th, 1994. You see Kai, and you know it's Kai, but you don't know who the other three people in the scenes are. You see Kai is chasing some girl and stabs her and is dragging like a baseball bat or some kind of weapon behind him and tries to lift up under the bed while she's protecting two small blonde children. So he's chasing three people and he lifts up the bed where they are hiding, and we see this transition, which I really like the transitions in this episode too. We see him opening the trunk where he has Bonnie tied up in the prison world of May 10th, 1994. And that scene is pretty bloody. The woman that he's chasing is, you know, bleeding. And the other two kids are scared for their lives. And then we have Bonnie, who's like, you know, tied up. But he lets her out. And she's like, why did you bring me to Oregon? You could have brought me anywhere. And this is where you bring me. And he's just like, oh, you know, Tanya Harding and Courtney Love. I love his 90s references. I think he says they were from there. I'm not really sure if that's true. But he brings her back there after she puts her magic into a teddy bear. And Damon just happened to find that teddy bear the night before this. And it keeps going back and forth into like the present day, the past, prison world, and like the past actual world, as well as Whitmore. But we see that Elena is practicing telling the man she's dating, Liam, that she's a vampire. And Carolyn's like, maybe you just shouldn't, especially if it's because you have feelings for somebody else that just got back. While Caroline's trying to be the perfect host while hosting Friendsgiving. On the guest list is Tyler, Elena, Caroline, Damon, Alaric, Joe, Liv, Luke, and Liam. So they keep referring to how Stefan was not invited. And honestly, I'm glad that Caroline didn't invite him because he didn't deserve to be there after he was an asshole to her. And I'm not even talking that he didn't realize she had feelings or anything like that, because obviously you can't control how you feel about somebody. But what I am talking about is how, first of all, he didn't even notice it. And second of all, he didn't notice it because he was too busy pushing her away because he thought his brother was dead. And he literally just like didn't answer her phone calls, didn't like try to be there for her, didn't let her be there for him, pretended that he was looking for them when he wasn't, tried to pawn his vampire girlfriend on her and was going to just take off. And then he's just like, tell me how to fix it so we can go back to being friends again. We don't have to do this shit. Like, what? That is not an apology, sir. So we see Joe tell Elena that they're not going to be able to make it, Rick, Damon, and Stefan. Well, Stefan wasn't even invited. So we see Alaric on the phone with Elena. And Alaric is basically saying, like, Bonnie, we have hope for Bonnie. And I think this is so funny because Elena's like, why didn't he tell us about Bonnie? Damon's response was pretty funny, honestly. Why wouldn't I consult you on a decision that might permanently change your life? I wonder. And at this point, Damon had just gotten back from the prison world and Elena had erased all memories of him. Well, all good memories of him. So she really only remembered that he killed her brother and was Stefan's brother. And That's crazy that she fell in love with him not once, but twice after knowing that he killed her brother. But okay. So while Bonnie was still in the prison world and Kai was trying to have her let him get out, she puts her magic into a bear for safekeeping and sends it up for Damon to find. So Damon Alaric and Stefan are, you know, trying to go figure out, like, where she might be. So they follow this lead to Oregon again. Stefan's like, I already followed this 4 months ago. There was nothing there. Don't get your hopes up. And this whole time that they're walking up to this building, you see these, like, rock walls, these rock columns that they walk through. It's like a... And the whole time that they're walking through this, literally they're just making fun of Stefan for not realizing that Caroline had feelings for him and that they should just... He's like, well, why don't you date her already? And this is why I do not like Steriline, is because right here he says, I do not think of her that way. We are friends. And they just kept kind of forcing it on him. And I think that, like, it bothers me that he didn't come to this conclusion on his own. And it just felt very forced at this point. I mean, if it happened a few seasons back, it would have been very different. But it didn't. And the way that he treated her in season 5 was absolutely horrible. Or, like, the beginning of the season. I'm really not sure which one it was at the moment. So we see Kai bring Bonnie to his family home, is what he says, that my family's been trying to hide. We see Alaric, Damon, and Stefan in an empty field walking past the same things, like the same rock walls. But one has a house in front of it and one has a open field. Kai explains his crazy family isn't there to cover their childhood home, like they go out of their way to do so often. So Damon is playing with Bonnie's bear, mocking Stefan, and even Alaric says something like, even the bear knew that she had feelings for you, Stefan. And then Damon, being Damon, is very funny, and he's like, I saw that from a mile away, and my brain's made of cotton. And then Stefan, being irritated, takes the bear out of Damon's hands and throws it, and boom, magic house appears out of nowhere. Same house that Kai is at with Bonnie in this very moment. And they're discussing how this is possible. And Alaric kind of mentions that Joe tucked her magic away for safekeeping in an object before. And Damon explains to Stefan that Kai would siphon it out of Bonnie and use her to get home if she didn't. So that's probably why she did. And Alaric is no longer a vampire because of the way that Joe healed him in the anti-magic border. It was a treatable wound and perfect timing. So, like, I love that scene on the porch when, like, Damon tries to go in and he's like, Rick, you're up. And he's just like, I don't miss that. But back at Whitmore, Caroline is obsessing over trying to have the perfect Thanksgiving and setting the table and stuff. And then Joe walks in and is talking to Liv, and Liv is, like, being rude to her. Liv is in a terrible mood. Her 22nd birthday is coming up, her and her twin brother Luke's. And this is where you, like, find out that they're all related. And I love it. So Kai has been counting the solar eclipses and tells Bonnie he brought her there for Thanksgiving dinner. And after they eat it, whatever they have in the fridge on that day, May 10th, 1994, that she can go and take the car with her. And she's like, all right, cool, deal. Like, she's skeptical, but, you know, it's her only hope. But you're really wondering, why is Liv's 22nd birthday bothering her? Because, you know, she's going to be 22. That's pretty young. That's pretty exciting. Like, it's 1 year after 21. Not bad. Fun. Joe just asked her, like, you look really familiar. Do I know you? And she's like, no, I guess you're dating my occult studies professor. I guess that got you an invite to Friendsgiving. And, like, walks off nastily. Then Liam, who is dating Elena at this point, walks in with wine and says, I'm sorry, this is my surrender wine because, you know, I looked at Lady Whitmore's charts again and I was wrong. Joe switched them for her so he would stop digging. Joe walks up to Liam like, oh, I'm so glad you're here. Grabs the wine. Oh, you too, Liam. She's funny. So Caroline, being the little control freak that she is trying to organize Thanksgiving. It's now time to eat. And Tyler makes jokes like, you better do that now because she won't let us up again. And Luke walks in like, trying to play a video of them when they were younger, and there's somebody in the background, and Joe and Elena walk in, like, Joe's like, where did you get that video? Honestly, it makes me cry every time. I'm about to cry just talking about it. I know. I'm an emotional girl. But just to be reconnected with your family on Thanksgiving is like pretty crazy. Elena's like, wow, Joe, that sounds just like you. And she's like, that is me. I made that video 18 years ago on the twins' fourth birthday. And she's like, Lucas and Olivia. And I get like they're called Luke and Liv, but you really couldn't put that together knowing that you have like a blonde. They were blonde twins when they were four. And now there's two blonde twins called Lucas and Luke and Liv. I get the Josette part more. I mean, Josette is a weird name and Joe is a weird name, but they were younger, so it makes more sense that they wouldn't really remember her, especially because we find out that Joshua Parker removes pictures of really Kai and her. But they find out that they are all related, and this is where we get the Gemini backstory. This is where a lot of things start popping off in this season, where we find out about the merge. So we go back to, you know, Oregon, present day, and the Parker home, where Rick finds pics of Joe and her medical clamp and all that kind of things. And then there's a picture of Joe and Kai together. And he's like, whoa, that's Kai. That's what Damon says. Like, that's 1994 Kai. And Seven's just like, is that his sister? And she's like, either that or they love Cosby sweaters. Damon's lines are great. Then all of a sudden, some man pops out of nowhere and goes, you know Kai? Have you seen him? And Damon's like, yeah, I did in 1994. And he shakes Damon's hand, and he's like, Joshua Parker, and he's like, Invisiqué. And then that's when Invisiqué, I think, starts. And he kind of just, you know, he's like, what's wrong with them? Like, why aren't you guys listening? And he's like, because they can't see you, Damon. The house has disappeared. Only Damon and Josh can still see it. Or as Damon calls him, Papa Kai. So now we know not only is Joe related to the twins, but Joe is also related to Kai. So back at Whitmore, Carolyn's like, how did the three of you end up here at the same art school if you guys didn't even know you were related? And that's when Joe says we had a family friend, Sheila Bennett. And it all comes around full circle and we figure it out. That's why a Bennett witch was needed, which is why Sheila even sent Bonnie there in the first place. Makes sense. And then Carolyn's like, well, there's two sets of twins in your family. And Lucas just like, there was until my family sent Kai away to a prison world. My coven wasn't happy, and Liam is there still, and he hears the word coven and freaks out, and he's like, what? Did you guys just say coven? And Tyler's like, no, something about the oven. And Caroline compels him to leave to go get the wine opener and come back and take his time. And we have them explaining that the twins are leaders in their family, that Kai and Joe were next in line, but when their parents realized that Kai wasn't capable of being a coven leader, they kept trying to have more kids until another set of twins was born. That he is also not, he doesn't have his own magic, Kai. He's a siphon witch, which is a very rare type of witch from the Gemini coven. And honestly, it's probably created because of their weird merge thing, where one twin absorbs the other. It probably eventually gave the ability to absorb magic. But Elena is just like, yeah, so why is Liv mad again? I don't get it. If they can both be leaders, why is she upset? And Luke is like, yeah, well, we can't both be leaders. We have to merge on our 22nd birthday. Which I like the numbers that they used because, like, twins represent 22. It's, like, 11 doubled. The sign of Gemini is also twins. I really like all of the things that they put into this Gemini coven type of thing. A lot of people talk badly about Geminis and may say that they are siphons themselves, although that is not true. Okay, it might be a little true. Geminis do absorb energy. They're very energetic. However, we're not going to talk astrology right now. We're just going to talk about the Gemini coven. Okay, so then we move on to back to Oregon, where we see Damon and like laying unconscious on a couch with Joshua Parker, and he's asking a bunch of questions to Damon about Kai and like why he was there. Does Kai know how he got out? Blah 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 blah. Which I really don't understand why they're like making this huge obsession about the Ascendant, because the Ascendant can't travel worlds. So obviously there's an Ascendant in the other world. How do you think Damon got out? Like, I don't understand that at all. It makes zero sense. I get they don't want to open the prison world again, but they're acting like, I don't know. It's just weird. Maybe they're not acting like that because Joshua does say, like, he's there with a Bennett witch. He can get out then. But, I mean, there was Bennett magic there regardless. And I'm sure, like, with time, he could have figured it out. So Rick calls Joe and is like, yo, I think I just met your dad. And she's like, no, that's impossible. He lives in Oregon. And Rick's like, yep, that's where I am. She's like, what the hell is going on? You better tell me right now. Like, I mean, she says it a little bit nicer than that. But, yeah, that's the gist of it. She's like, my dad's going to retaliate if he thinks that you guys can open the prison world and get the Ascendant. And hate to break it to you, bud, but the Ascendant's been here with me the whole time. So Tyler finds Liv at Skull Bar, which is Whitmore's bar. Also, it looks very similar to the Armory, just saying. It's pretty much the Armory. Very weird that they did that. But also, it is where Liv works at this point. And he's like, why didn't you tell me about the merge? And she's just like, I'm trying to get rid of you. You're not supposed to be in my life. Either way, like, I either become the leader, I either die in the merge, or, like, I become the leader because I had to kill my brother. And he's just like, don't merge. And she's like, you don't understand. You wouldn't understand. You're not part of our coven. And he's like, I'm just trying to protect you, blah, 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 blah. Elena is on the phone the same time that Rick is on the phone with Joe. Elena is on the phone with Stefan. And she's just like, oh, my God. Damon disappeared into thin air. He's like gone. And she's like, Stefan's just like, oh, be careful. It sounded like you cared about my brother. She's like, just because I don't have feelings doesn't mean I want him to blink out of existence. And he's like, no, it's a protection spell or a whatever, invisible spell. And Liam walks back in. And from time to time, I might call him Aaron. I do it all the time. I don't know why. But in my mind, his name is Aaron. I think Aaron is the kid from Whitmore, actually. Maybe that's why. That's definitely why. But I always confuse them, and I'm sorry. I'm talking about Liam in this episode only. So Liam walks back in, and she basically tells Stefan, yeah, Joe was invited to Friendsgiving, and you weren't too, because he asked her. And she's like, I can't get involved. Friend code says I have to be on Caroline's side in this matter. As she sees Liam, she's like, hey, like, how did you know you could trust me when you told me what you were? And he's like, that's easy. I was in love with you. And what he didn't say was, I still am in love with you, because he is, until the very, very, very end. And he's like, you owe me dinner. Click, hangs up, bye. Truly, I think that Liam was only brought in to kind of keep the actors who went through a breakup apart a little bit more and for some filler. Although you can't really tell they're broken up. I mean, you can a little bit, but they definitely still have chemistry regardless. And I think they handle it pretty well overall, even if she left the show because of him. That's her own prerogative. Maybe she did it for her own personal reasons. It's really not my business. Super happy she's engaged now to Sean White, though, so that's pretty exciting. Congratulations to them. So Damon's like, Papa Kai, do you really mean merge? He's like, yeah, that's exactly what I mean. And then we see him, like, doing some magical spell, and we see Joe fall. And she's like, oh my God, my father, he's coming after me. He plans to take Joe out that way, Kai, if he does get out with Bonnie, that he can't merge with her. And Kai's like giving this sad story to Bonnie, saying like, oh no, my coven didn't put me here. My family did. My father, who was horrible and always put his family last to his coven. And you really do feel sympathy for him. Like, he's called an abomination and all these other things, similar to Klaus, but his actions are just not justified. He's an actual sociopath. At least Klaus would never kill his family. Most of the time, I don't even think he's in control of himself. I think he's seriously unhinged. So she starts, like, bleeding. Joe starts bleeding on the couch. Elena and Liam are like, oh my God. And Liam's like, we got to do CPR. You call 911. And she's like, Liam, I have to do this. And she heals him. In front of Liam, and he's like, what the fuck is going on? And basically, she's like, I'm a vampire, but it doesn't matter because I've got way too many complicated things going on. And I think she realizes when Stefan said, I was in love with you, like, she's not in love with him. This is not something she wants to tell him, because this is not, and she could be very happy with him, but it's just not what she wants to do. She's not in love with him. And she's just like, my life just got really complicated right now. And you're going to forget about me, dating me, and Lady Whitmore. She says you're going to forget about me being a vampire, not me. I'll see you at work on Monday. Bye. So on May 9th, 1994, the day that before Kai goes into the prison world, when he killed four of his siblings and severely injured two to three of them, we see Joe at a tree stump in her yard, and there's something in there, and she puts her magic into that. And that's how Stefan and Alaric get in to save Damon, because over the phone she tells him that and invites Stefan in while she's dying. Kai comes out of his house. Come out, wherever you are. And his creepy little Kai Parker maniacal voice. I mean, who names a kid Malachi? It's like they wanted me to be evil. I love him, though. He's funny. He's just a complete sociopath. But Joe agrees to the merge, and the next day they go to do the merge during the solar eclipse, May 10th, 1994. And I love this year because we've had, like, both of the prison world events happen. There was two Aurora Borealis events where I live, and it's not common for me to see them. November 1st, though, in the year 1903 was a huge one. I looked it up. But we also had a solar eclipse this year, so pretty neat. I like this year for the Vampire Diaries. It's a year for them. But anyways, they're going to do the merge, and he's just like, I couldn't feel Joe's magic. And all of a sudden, Papa Kai comes up, and he's just like, blah, 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 incendia. I don't know what he says, but he puts him into the prison world with the help of Shayla Bennett. And he had been there ever since, up until, you know, Bonnie and Damon just popped on in for a little surprise visit. I find it interesting that Damon is just like, he's familiar with the 90s. I don't know if that's why he's able to adapt. I don't know if Bonnie would have been able to adapt as quickly without Damon, or is Damon just used to having to adapt throughout different time periods because he has always, you know, kind of had to do this, or he's just watched things evolve throughout his life. I thought that was kind of interesting. We see camcorders and pagers and Tetris and all kinds of, we don't see Tetris, but he mentions it. And just, you know, 90s stuff. And everything that Kai pretty much says is a 90s reference, because he spent, you know, the past two decades or three decades in this prison world that was the same day over and over. So basically, Alaric's like, no, we have to find another way to get Bonnie out of this prison world. We cannot let a monster like that out. And Damon's like, yeah, okay, buddy. And compels him to grab it no matter what, at all costs. Pretty dirtbag move. But, I mean, it's Bonnie. I do get it. But he should have just waited, because at this point in time, Kai figures out after, he only figures it out because Bonnie put her magic into the teddy bear, and he figured out that that's why he never felt Joe's magic, because the night before that she was standing there being all weird, and her magic's in the tree, which happens to be in a knife that he conveniently uses to stab Bon Bon. And I find this absolutely wild. First of all, I feel like within 20 years he would have thought about this at some other point in his life, doing nothing. Like, where did her magic go? Like, I didn't feel it. Why didn't I feel it? And already have come to this conclusion, but whatever. We'll pretend that he wasn't sitting in his own mind for 20-something years. So Damon, Rick, and Stefan fly home. Then we have Tyler at his Lockwood mansion, and Liv wakes up on the couch, and he's just like, oh, you passed out, so I brought you home. And she's like, oh, kidnapping, how nice. And he's like, if your coven wants you to merge, they're going to have to come through me. Which is, like, genuinely cute, but, like, you don't even know if this is what she wants. He's like, there's no magic here. They won't be able to find you. And if they do, they're going to have to come through me the old-fashioned way. So I wonder, like, if Tyler, when he, if this was still up when Tyler had redone his curse, if he was in Mystic Falls, would he turn into a wolf? No, right? Because it's magic from Inadu. Stefan is home for the holidays. Just kidding. He is at Whitmore, and he's bumps into Caroline, who is like, oh, I'm glad you're here. I hated you and didn't even invite you to Friendsgiving, but I don't want you to starve, baby. He's like, oh, thanks. You made me a doggy bag. She's like, on top of that, this is the first time that I have something to be excited for. Bonnie's alive. The first Thanksgiving that I have something to be thankful for, she says. So exciting. But Stefan's like, I'm basically here to apologize because I did push you away, and I pushed you away the most because I knew you were the one person that would sit with me and be there for me while I cried, and I didn't want to cry anymore. She says, thank you for saying that. And he's trying to say more, but she just like, all right, gotta go. Bye. And then after Thanksgiving dinner, which they don't even eat, I think, this whole time, we see Elena walk up to the Skull Bar or whatever it's called, the Whitmore Bar slash the Armory slash whatever. But Elena walks in where Damon is sitting there drinking by himself. She's like, you should have brought me with you. First, you should have told me she was alive. Then you should have brought me with you. And Damon being Damon, he's just like, well, Rick had more frequent flyer miles and he didn't deliberately forget our entire relationship. And she's like, fair. I deserve that one. And he starts going on about how Bonnie is like the nicest person and they bickered a lot and Bonnie's so smart and they spent 4 months together. She's like, I'm happy you guys had each other while you're there. I know that's going to sound weird, but I am. And Elena's just like, what did you guys talk about? And he's like, what do you think? And then she's like, I broke up with Liam. He's like, what went wrong? And she's like, what do you think? Damon is asking Elena why, I mean, what she's going to do about this. And she's just like, I don't know, but I have a really solid friend who gives really good advice. Do you think you can help me get her back so I can ask her? And they like kind of hold hands a little bit. It's really cute. And Bonnie's just like bleeding out still, like kind of a little bit in and out here. And the pager starts going off and it says, I lied. The car is gone. I feel like Bonnie spends most of the season in the prison world and she really didn't deserve this. And it just shows how much of an amazing person she is because she let Damon go and not herself in order to keep Kai in the prison world and to be a good friend to him. And it's an American holiday, which she's probably celebrated her entire life. And here she is alone and bleeding. But it honestly shows, like, I do feel bad for Kai. I even feel bad for Joe, Liv, and Luke as well. Like, they are forced to merge into each other's bodies, just like, you know, Joshua was. And he literally tries to kill his own daughter to protect his coven. And I get he's also trying to protect the entire world, but it's pretty fucked up after losing 4 children and acting like that's your reason. After, like, I don't even understand that. As a parent, that's awful. You're a terrible person. So I really like that this was more of a Friendsgiving than a Thanksgiving, just because it shows like that the meaning of family isn't always what you're born into and you can make your own family. And I think Kai really needed to learn that lesson before he got to this point, but he didn't. Also, the Gemini Coven is actually based off of a real coven that was in, or a real group of people at least, that twins were very common in their family. There's like a lunchbox. You can't really Google it because when you Google the Gemini Coven, the only thing that comes up is the Vampire Diaries. But they were based out of Portland, Oregon. And there's like, they owned hotels. And they're like on a lunchbox. There's like a little bit of a backstory. I saw it one day when I was doing some research. I was not expecting the 4 of the Parkers to be related, Liv, Luke, Kai, and Joe. I mean, Josette is actually Laughlin. I don't know why. Is she married? I'm not sure. I was super happy to see that Elena is basically like, yeah, I'm at a crossroads where I can live my life the way I think I should. And I could probably be happy and successful. Or I could risk it for that tiny glimmer of a feeling I can't shake. I am a Delana shipper, even though I think that it gets a little stupid there for a little bit, and that they probably should have just let Elena die instead of keeping her in a coffin and keeping the whole entire storyline around her coffin, but whatever. I'm really not sure why Damon really thought Bonnie was alive. I mean, was dead, because Kai needs her. Kai needs her to get out. He's not going to kill her. That doesn't make any sense at all. So he should have known that she was alive the entire time. He wouldn't have killed her unless he got out, and I don't see him standing anywhere, so not sure why he thought that. And while Stefan does have like a little bit of guilt over his actions and the way that he treated her, I don't think that he would have done that if they didn't like poke at him this entire time. And there's actually a deleted scene where he says something about to Damon about not being over Elena, or Damon says it to him. I don't know. But either way, like, it's pretty clear that Stefan is always in love with Elena, and Caroline deserves better than that. I really did like this episode, and I think that it sets up the future of the show for some cool things that we're going to see with the Gemini Coven in both this season and the next one. as well as, you know, the next spinoff. The third spinoff, Legacies. And you actually see the Siphons in the originals as well. You see Alaric and Caroline's daughters. Joe's daughters as well. This episode for Thanksgiving was very family oriented and I really enjoyed that. And I like the spin in the flashbacks and the parallels that we see here. It was a really cool episode. I enjoyed it. And I hope you guys have a great, happy Thanksgiving and enjoy time with your family. Thanks for listening. Next week, we'll be doing an episode about Lucien Kessel and his story. So come on back for that. One thing that I wanted to include about this is that the title is called Fade Into Us or Fade Into You. And it definitely makes me feel like it has to do with the merge. And that's why it's called that, because it doesn't really, I'm not sure if that has anything to do with Thanksgiving, but that's pretty much what the twins and the Gemini coven do. And that's what's explained in this episode. So I liked that that was the title. But again, happy Thanksgiving. Bye.